some trouble. But when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy.
It's hard to be happy on this very sad week. Of course, I'm talking about what happened in Boston on Monday during the Boston Marathon. Hello, I'm Betsy Rosenberg, and we will be talking about environmental topics, as always, here on the Green Front today. But first, had to acknowledge what happened. So sad, so angry, like everybody else in America. And, of course, our hearts and thoughts go out to the people most affected, the victims of that horrible terrorist attack, a couple of bomb attacks. I feel particularly close to this because even though I'm in California right now, I was with my family, not only in Boston this past weekend, but staying at the Fairmont Copley Square Hotel, which happens to be right in front of where the finish line and white tent is for the end of the Boston Marathon, right where that horrific attack took place. So we were just there taking pictures of the tent and the finish line being set up on Saturday. So we were not there on Monday, but just feel connected to that place, especially because our daughter will be attending school, most likely at Boston University. So our hearts go out to the city, a fabulous place, and trying to focus like everyone else on the amazing outpouring of assistance from everybody who was there to witness that horrific tragedy, and just know that we are thinking about them today as we turn our attention now to what we usually focus on, and that is protecting our planet, but of course the people on it. And very pleased to have in the first segment someone who's been covering a story that I'm very excited about, and that is what's happening in a town called Lancaster. It's in Southern California, east of L.A., and there's a very colorful mayor there by the name of Rex Paris. He happens to be a Republican. That's not stopping him from setting a very ambitious goal to make his town the most solar-powered anywhere in America. And they are asking people to install solar power panels and power on as many buildings as possible. We're going to find out more about that from Michelle Kinman in just a moment. She is a clean energy advocate with Environment California. Then we're hoping to get someone for a special Earth Day discussion on a new film that's out from 350.org, all about the Keystone Pipeline and what's at stake with our climate. And then last but not least, we'll be taking a look at Earth Day. It's coming up on Monday, April 22nd, and we'll take a look at what's happening in San Francisco, since we tend to lead the way in a lot of environmental trends. We'll be chatting with one of the organizers of that event, Paul Wells. First, want to welcome to the program Michelle Kinman. Thanks for joining us. Kind of short notice, I know. The mayor wasn't available, the flamboyant Rex Paris, but perhaps you can tell us a little bit about what made him so green and so gung-ho on solar.
Sure, I'm happy to be here. Thank you. Before diving into the specifics of the Lancaster case, I think it might be useful just to step back for a moment and look at the big picture of where we're going with solar here in California and why
Sure.
The recent announcement of the mayor and of the city council is so important and newsworthy. And what they have decided in Lancaster is that all new homes of a certain size must be built with a solar panels on them. So it's homes that are built on lots of at least 7,000 square feet have to have a minimum of 1 kilowatt of solar on them going forward. That's a really exciting development because buildings are a big part of California's energy picture, accounting for about 40% of our overall energy consumption. So it's really critical that we cut our use of energy within our buildings. Thanks to strong mandates from the state, single-family and multifamily homes across the state are being built with top-of-the-line energy efficiency improvements already, and generating the on-site clean energy is really the next frontier. So it's very exciting that Lancaster is leading the way on this development.
And where is Lancaster exactly? And is it a more Republican town? I always thought of it that way, not that that really matters, but since, you know, environmental issues seem to have been so politicized and polarized lately, I just think it might be worth noting.
Sure. Lancaster is a town up in the kind of high desert area of northern Los Angeles County, and their mayor, as you noted, is a Republican. And what I have found really refreshing and interesting in reading about him and in talking with him on a couple of other programs is that he is really looking at this very pragmatically. He is both pursuing solar for his city because of the clean energy and global warming benefits, but also because it just makes good sense for the bottom line of his city. And I think the real story here is about the role that a mayor and a city council can play in putting into place policies that will both save money and clean up the environment at the same time.
Mm. And just paint a picture, if you would, for our listeners of what kind of character this mayor is, and we say that in the most affectionate way. Sometimes it takes someone with a lot of passion and, you know, a little bit of boldness to really step out there.
Yeah, I'm not that well acquainted with the mayor, so please take my comments with that in mind. But from everything I have read and, again, that I've had the opportunity to learn about him is that he is just a very passionate, charismatic person who has a certain flair for capturing people's attention. And I think that he has his personality married with this already very good and positive story of how solar can be cleaning up our environment and also saving money is sort of this perfect marriage.
And the sun really does beat down in Lancaster, so I guess a couple years ago he said he was going to make his city the solar capital of the world, and then he went on to say, no, the universe. So that's pretty ambitious.
Right. They have actually done a tremendous amount of work on solar over the past couple of years. Environment California Research and Policy Center tracks the development of solar in cities all across the state. And what we found was that in late 2011, Lancaster was already ranked 13th in the state for the total number of installations that they had in solar roofs. At that point, they had 241 solar roofs. And then when we looked at the data again just this past February, they were already up to 641 solar roofs. So their solar market is already growing quite well. And then with this latest mandate for new homes to be built with solar, it's really exciting to think about where they're going to be going in the future.
Yeah, and I see that they're not just limiting solar panels to rooftops, but also talking about putting them in, you know, alfalfa fields and parking lots. That's, a step in the right direction.
Right. They've actually done something pretty exciting with their school district up there. Lancaster is part of the Antelope Valley Unified School District, and they've made a significant investment in solar power. They installed a system in June 2011. It was a 9.6 megawatt solar energy system, which is quite large. In fact, it was the largest school-based solar project in the United States at that time. And many of those projects, if not all of them, are on carports at the schools, which has the double benefit of not only generating the clean energy, but also then keeping the cars of the students and the teachers up there in the high desert cooler. And that's a project that's already generated over $360,000 in savings in their first year of operation alone.
Mm. And are they partnering with certain solar companies to make it, you know, easier and faster for anyone who wants to go solar in Lancaster to really remove some of the usual barriers?
I understand that they do have some partnerships with various companies, but I'm actually not intimately familiar with those details. But this is, I guess, just a step back from the specifics of the Lancaster scenario. We are seeing that while Lancaster is certainly a step ahead of the state in some respects, that this adoption of solar really is taking hold all across the state. In fact, we now have more solar in California, more rooftop solar specifically in California than in all but five countries worldwide, which is really thanks to both the forward-thinking commitment of the state legislature and state leaders, as well as leaders on the local level.
Michelle, I'm wondering if things are starting to change in regards to housing developments, especially in the Southwest, where the sun does beat down and temperatures, you know, going to record highs. In places like Phoenix, Arizona, I remember when I was flying in there about 5 years ago, I commented how wouldn't this be a perfect place to have solar panels everywhere, and someone who I was sitting next to, who was a resident of Phoenix, said, oh, it's very difficult to get these kinds of things approved, you know, in planned housing developments, that kind of thing, and, you know, people see it as an eyesore. I certainly hope that's changing, especially in a place where, a roof would be a terrible thing to waste given the solar rays that beat down, several hundred days a year.
I do think it's changing, and I think it's changing thanks to a combination of state programs and local programs that have provided incentives and rebates to make it easier for people to go solar. And then in addition, this past summer, the state mandated that all new homes and commercial properties be built solar ready. So not with the panels themselves necessarily, but with the roofs prepared to easily put solar on top of them. And that just makes good sense because not only do we have a lot of sunshine throughout California, but incorporating the solar panels into the construction process itself rather than retrofitting the houses later on cuts the cost and then makes solar more affordable to more Californians. So I think we are moving in that direction, and it's really an exciting development and one that we're happy to see Lancaster leading the way on.
Any idea how many jobs could be added in Lancaster just specifically because of the solar initiative?
Unfortunately, I don't have Lancaster-specific statistics, but I can tell you that already California has more solar jobs than any other state in the country by a long shot. About a quarter of the solar jobs in the industry here in the U.S. are based in California. That's over 25,000 people with the last statistics I've encountered. So that's already a pretty significant number of people employed in the industry. And, of course, as more and more cities take on leadership like Lancaster, we expect that number to continue growing.
Hopefully, Mayor Perez can have some influence on his fellow Republicans in D.C. and Congress because, you know, for many of the more conservative element of that party, you know, all we hear about when it comes to solar power is, you know, Solyndra and how that, quote, proves that solar energy is not viable when, you know, anything but that is actually the case.
Right, which is why it's great that you and others are doing stories about Lancaster and about California, where we have an abundance of really positive news. We have those job statistics that are quite strong. In addition to that, the price of solar has come down remarkably over the course of the past 5 or 6 years. We've seen a 38% decrease in residential costs, and I think, it's a 45% decrease in commercial costs. So we're expecting that the cost of going solar will actually reach grid parity with fossil fuels within the next couple of years. So, you know, all signs really point to a bright, positive future for solar in California and throughout the country, as long as we have local leaders and state leaders who, you know, are continuing to put forth big, bold visions on solar power.
I love what Mayor Perez said in a New York Times article. He asked, is global warming indeed a threat? Absolutely, he said. I may be a Republican. I'm not an idiot. That kind of says it. I mean, really, the way things are going with all kinds of heat records being broken, and we're just, of course, approaching the summer months as we've had, you know, strange, destructive weather events for couple of years, especially the last year, 2012 I'm speaking about, that it's going to be harder and harder to deny the presence of some force that is causing, you know, to, you know, go into crisis and have extremes. So I think those who are holding out saying this is not a problem are just going to be a dying breed, an endangered species, if you will.
I couldn't agree more, which is why it's just so important that our leaders are really taking the time now to plan for the future and really put in place the policies that we're going to need over the next decade or so to ramp up our solar commitment to lead to a much cleaner energy future.
Our California governor, Jerry Brown, has always been a green leader. How well is he doing in terms of leadership on, you know, renewable energy advancement in this state?
Sure. Well, Jerry Brown, early on in his term, he came out with a bold goal for solar power and for all local clean power across the state. He's actually put forth a goal for the state of California to install 12 gigawatts, which is quite a lot, of local clean power across the state by the year 2020, which is a really fantastic goal that will move us greatly towards achieving all of the various clean energy goals that we've set as a state. So it's critical that we continue, figuring out the smartest, best policies that can get us to achieving and even exceeding Jerry Brown's goal.
And how important is it what happens in Washington in terms of, you know, energy incentives, cost incentives that come from the national level to really accelerate solar panel production and installation?
Yeah, there are federal tax incentives right now that are set to expire in the year 2016 that have been instrumental in helping not only homeowners but also businesses and other entities go solar. And so it's really critical that we're thinking now about what the next step will be when those incentives are set to expire, because that has been a critical component of you know, making the solar equation more appealing and affordable to more Californians.
And how important has the lease option been in terms of really spurring interest in solar power?
I think that's it's been a wonderful option for people to have. Certainly, you know, we always advise anyone, be it a homeowner or a business owner or a school, to really, you know, do their research whenever they're contemplating going solar and figuring out whether buying the system up front or leasing is going to work out best for them. And I think different scenarios will lead to different answers to that question for different people, but it's great to have more options out there, whether it's buying systems up front, leasing them, or there are several proposals on the table right now to create a shared solar program here in California that would allow folks who are renters or who cannot, for whatever reason, put solar on their own roof to buy into an off-site solar system and then receive a credit on their electricity bill for the portion that their share in that shared solar system generates. So there's a lot of exciting proposals going forward that I hope our leaders will continue to get behind.
And I know it's very important to have, you know, a charismatic and passionate leader like Mr. Paris, you know, leading the way to make his city much more solar friendly and business friendly. Do you think that what he's established will continue? He can't be mayor forever, that Lancaster really is committed to this route?
I do think so, because they've already demonstrated a great amount of solar development, as I mentioned, with the school system, with the total number of roofs it's clearly taking on. That's not the vision of one person alone. And I think that his story is getting out there. The story of Lancaster is receiving coverage far and wide, and I hope that it influences leaders throughout the state. I mean, I'm based here in Los Angeles, where we certainly have a tremendous amount of solar potential and a vast number of unused roofs. And we're fortunate in that both of the candidates who are running to be the next mayor of Los Angeles have embraced a goal of generating 20% of the city's electricity from the sun by the year 2020. And we're really hopeful that the next mayor, whomever that will be, really takes that pledge seriously when it comes to real policy development. And I hope that the story of Lancaster, and I think that the story of Lancaster, serves as an inspiration for whoever will be next mayor here in Los Angeles.
Okay, Michelle, last question. I've seen estimates that wind power will actually be a bigger contributor to renewable energy in the future than solar. Why is that the case, or is that the case?
You know, I'm not certain. I think, you know, our work is really focused on promoting both, and not only solar and wind power, but also geothermal and biomass and all of the exciting technology developments that are coming up these days. And I'm not really focused on picking one over the other. I think at this point we need to be investing in all of the forms of clean energy available at our fingertips.
I could not agree more. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Michelle Kinman is with Environment California. She's a clean energy advocate and obviously knows her stuff, because that's the latest on what's happening with sun power in the Golden State, where the sun shines plenty, and especially down in Southern California, where it hardly ever rains, and specifically Lancaster being putting itself on the map as the solar capital of not only the country, not only the world, but the universe, according to their mayor, Rex Paris. We hope to have him on the show soon when he's available. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about a big event, a film event, in conjunction with Earth Day and the Keystone Pipeline. We'll be right back.